You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you can lead me up. You thought I was to die for. You sacrificed your life.
There is a certain atmosphere that you're only going to find in some places. And the church of God, has an atmosphere all its own. There are certain sounds, certain emotions, certain activities that you only find in the church. And that's one of the things I love about coming to church. You're only going to find this here. You can't get that anywhere else. Not like you get it here. I think it's kind of what was going through Jacob's mind out there in that desert, when all he could come up with was, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. How many have lived long enough to know you can find God in some strange places? You can find God in the worst circumstances of your life, and all you can say is, surely the Lord is in this place. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad. God, we thank you right now for your presence. We thank you right now for your promise. Because you thought we were worth saving. And you promised that you would deliver us. You would come and see about us. And Lord, you kept your promise. For God so loved the world. That's what we were told. That he gave his only begotten son. And whosoever. And Lord, that's right where they put our name. Right there after whosoever. They put our name. And we believe you, God. Because you thought we were worth saving. You came down through 42 generations just to see about me. You picked me up and turned me around. You made a way out of no way. You brushed me off and told me to run on. You thought I was worth saving. And I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. And God, I feel so inadequate by simply just saying thank you. But I gotta say thank you. God, I wish I had bigger words and a stronger vocabulary, but I just want to tell you thank you. I may not dance like some of them. I may not shout or run. I may not be able to scream, but Lord, I can say thank you. And I sure enough thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for saving me. And Father, I pray now with my saved self that I can hear you when you talk to me. I've come to hear you, Lord. I've come because I need a word. I got some stuff going on. I got some stuff I just got out of, and got some stuff I'm trying to not get into again, and I need you to talk to me. Tell me, Lord, what I should do. What shall I say unto these things? I need a word. And God, you're so faithful and so sovereign that you can get to me anywhere. If I'm in a valley, you can get to me. If I'm on a mountain, you can get to me. If I'm hiding in a cave, you can get to me. So come on and talk to me. My grandmother said that just a little talk with Jesus opened up great possibilities. And so I need to talk to you. Your word is my life. Speak, Lord. These people have gathered in this place. The time is precious. So, Lord, let's take advantage of it now. Don't let them leave home. Don't let them leave here. And don't let them leave earth till they hear from you. Speak, Lord. Forgive us of our sins. Unstop our ears and soften our hearts. We'll hear your voice. And the redeemed of the Lord said amen, amen, and amen. Come on, let's praise God together. Come on, put your hands together and bless the Lord. Come on, everybody. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, somebody shout glory. Amen, 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 amen. Grab your Bibles, your smartphones, your tablets, whatever instrument you have to communicate with the Lord. Fire it up now. Well, let me be careful about saying that. Some of y'all ain't been saved that long. Don't fire it up. Not in here. let's open our Bibles. How about that? Amen. Yeah. Some of y'all got that look on your face. As soon as I said fire it up, y'all went, this is a liberal church. They going to let us go ahead. No, we ain't. Amen. Amen. Grab your Bibles. Turn to Romans chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible, there is one in front of you if you're seated on any pew other than the front. If you're sitting up front, there's one behind you. But other than that, if you just reach in front of you, there's a Bible. There's a New Living Translation Bible. If you're not sure how to get to Romans 6, don't be alarmed. Don't be discouraged. I'm old school. When I went to elementary school, the first year I attended elementary school was 1967. And the first thing they taught us to read was the table of contents. Don't be ashamed about going to the table of contents. That's first. Any of y'all old school learn how to read like that? That's first place they taught us to read, the table of contents. So we can see what was in that book. And so if you have to go to the table of contents to find Romans, that's all right. Trust me, the person standing next to you, they just got lucky. It just happened to fall open right there. They got the Corinthians and went, wait a minute, I think if I go this way, yeah. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Romans 6, verse 1. New Living Translation, if you have a King James Bible or any other version, if you pulled up something on your app, and you got message or something like that, that's all right. We're going to be okay. I'm going to fix it. That's my job to fix it. Amen. Romans 6, verse 1, New Living Translation. Well, then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more kindness and forgiveness? Sit down. I want to talk to you for a little bit. They tell me I have to give a title to my sermons so it'll help y'all remember. So I want to talk to you just for a little bit here. It's about 25 after 12. I want to talk to you with this thought. Lord, I've seen what you can do. It's time I show you what I will do. Lord, I've seen what you can do. It's time I show you what I will do. Paul says to this congregation church that he has afforded an opportunity to preach to them. The first five chapters of Romans, Paul takes his time very methodically to introduce the church to church. Some of y'all have been around a while. Some of y'all, as my grandmother would say, ain't no spring chicken. Some of y'all fancy folk, and you've had an opportunity to be in a lot of places and meet people, and you may have a saying, like, this ain't my first rodeo, you know. And some of y'all don't know nothing about rodeo, can't spell rodeo. And the fact of the matter is, when we come to the church, most of us are not in the introductory state of mind anymore. We've been around a while. Nudge your neighbor and say, yeah, you know, you're not new to this. The first five chapters, he does not try to overwhelm them. He tries to gradually move them into a graduated state of discipleship life. Let me help you very quickly. I don't want to trouble you long. You ought not be still acting like no baby with your grown self. You've been around this too long to act like you don't know no better. Ain't nobody going to be putting you in time out and trying to hold your hand through this walk anymore. You too old for that. And we need to stop acting as if we just got to church. We've been around here a long time. We ain't 4 or 5 years old no more. And I can tell you right now that if you do like the Bible said, train up your child, when they get 4 or 5, they're going to start blowing your mind. It's gonna be some 4 or 5-year-old going to look at you and say, Mama, why we ain't going to church? Ain't today Sunday? I was telling you in Christian Academy, I was babysitting my grandsons yesterday, and my grandson Cedric came down the hall and looked me in time. Why you got your church clothes on? This ain't church day, is it, Granddad? I said, no, it ain't church day, and I ain't got no church clothes. He said, them church shoes and a church shirt. I told him, I said, well, I just how I dress. He said, well, I ain't got my church stuff on. I said, son, it's not church day. But he know. He know there's a certain way we go to God's church. Because we training up our child. And some of y'all act like y'all don't know nothing about church. I'm not talking about your clothes. I'm talking about your souls. Paul says to the church, there's some things y'all need to know about God, and I'm here to tell you. How shall they hear, Reverend Uriel, without the preacher? Somebody ought to holler, Reverend, we appreciate you. Y'all slow. How? He said, let me help y'all, Romans. Let me help y'all so that y'all can start helping each other. And, you know, we are a congregation. The Bible says that when God gave us gifts, those gifts were given to build up the church. And if folk ain't helping you, they hurting you. I don't care how silent they are. I don't care if they ain't put their hands on you. Anybody that ain't helping you is hurting you. Time and always got to try to be delicate and careful how you treat them and how you talk to them because they babies. Bunch of whiners, bunch of immature folk. And Paul says we need to grow up. And so he said, now, this is going to help you. He said, you need to know this. He gets to chapter 6, and those of you who've been around church long enough know the letters didn't come in chapters. You know, they didn't read chapter 5 and say, oh, next week we'll get chapter 6. It didn't work like that. Amen. Some of y'all didn't know that. Okay, I'm going to help y'all a bit. Y'all thought Paul wrote letters in chapters. No. And so Paul gets here, and last 2 weeks, and I'm following up now. Some of you wasn't here last 2 weeks, so you're going to have to get the CD or something. But last 2 weeks, I made it my purpose to tell you it's time to stop getting by. And it's time to get better. Didn't I tell y'all that? Amen. God bless Sister Cox. This morning when I was doing fellowship, I spoke to her. We were small talking. And she said, I'm getting better. I said myself, all right now, Sister Cox, you getting that thing. Amen. And how many of y'all, that's what we won't do. We won't get that thing, don't we? And so I thought Reverend Uriel, that I would follow up with this because this is part of what's going to make you sinning ain't going to make you better. Don't be looking at your shoes. I'm up here. You got to understand that our primary issue is sin. See, the church don't shout about that, bro. We don't shout about that no more. He ain't talking to me now. You nudging folks. Oh, you better listen to the Reverend. This Sunday you ought to have been here. No, I'm talking to all of us. Go back to read chapter 3. Paul said, all have sinned. Look at the name and say, uh-huh. You thought we didn't know. You thought because you changed your name and drove two counties over. Nobody know. All have sinned. How many know that that's why you ought not mess with nobody? Because you got some business to deal with too. Don't look around right now. Everybody look at me. Look at me. Because somebody see you looking, they're going to go, don't you start. You remember when we were children, everybody remember this one, you tell on me, I tell on you. You don't tell on me, I won't tell on you. You remember that rule? Look at the name and say, thank God it works in the church. Paul said, now here it is. And notice how he does this. He says, well then. In other words, he says, now of all the things we've been talking about, And I've been leading you up to this. He says, well then. You know when people say, well then, you know something coming. Amen. Anybody know that? He says, well then, should we just keep on acting a fool so that God can show himself greater and greater, kinder and kinder, more forgiving and yet more forgiving. He said, should we do that? And before he lets them say something crazy, he says, of course not. How many know of course not goes right there? And so I thought, I said, well, let's see if we can help them. I'm about finished. I want to see if I can help you by telling you, and here's the subject matter. Lord, we've seen what you can do. How many know you have experienced the grace and mercy and kindness and compassion and love, understanding, sympathy, empathy of God all the days of your life? How many of you know that your testimony is, I have seen what God can do? Come on, talk back to me. You talk to me, I'll talk faster. And so now, I think in order to stop getting by, it's time to get better. Our response to what we've seen him do is to start showing him what we're going to do. Amen. Look at your name and say, it's your turn now. Here it is. Early on, see, some of y'all disconnected. Don't unplug me. Don't turn me off, Darren. Stay with me. Some of us need to understand that this mindset, you know, mindset is good. You know, when you get a mindset, people won't move you. People can't change your mind. Listen, when you fall in love, you remember when you fell in love. It didn't matter how many folk told you he wasn't no good or she ain't no good. All you said was, You like Tony Braxton. I love me some him. Y'all know, come on, act like y'all ain't never been in love. Your mama told you don't go down there. Your daddy told you better not bring him up here no more. And y'all met wherever y'all could. Y'all stole away, got away, get whatever. Y'all did what y'all had to do because you were in love. Anybody remember love like that? Won't love make you do some stuff? Won't love make you go all the way? Won't love make you run the risk? Won't love make you take chances? Then why is it when you fall in love with God, you don't love him like that? Why don't you take a chance for him? Why won't you steal away with him? Why don't you sneak out to be with him? Why don't you sacrifice some things for him? You love him like that, but you ought to love him like that. Nudge your neighbor and say, he set us up that time. I thought we were going to do some K-I-S-S-I-N-G and all that. No, I'm talking about God. When you going to show him what you going to do when you have seen what he has done? The Lord been good to you. And so we got to understand that. But Paul said, now we got to have to make a decision. And this is where I think the church stumbles. We act like we can't make no decision. He said, Lord, I know you've been good to us. You reclaimed us because we were lost. You restored us because we had lost everything. You revived us because we had done passed out on life. You rejuvenated us so we can run on and see what the end going to be. You reinstated us because we were hostile toward you. Romans 5, go back and read it. He said, there was a time when you were hostile toward God. You were enemies of God. And yet, at just the right time, how many know that's where that On Time God song came from? At just the right time, God redeemed you. He wasn't late. How many of you can wave back at me and say, God saved me just in time? If the Lord had waited 10 more minutes, my funeral would have been planned. He said, God did all that. God revived us. You know, we walk around singing that song every year, twice a year around revival time. Revive us again. Hallelujah. Thine the glory. Hallelujah. No. God revives you every day. Every day, you done sucked in some fresh air from God. You got some new energy from God. In fact, the Bible said daily, he loadeth us with benefits. Nudge your neighbor, tell him, I'm blessed like that. Yeah, I mean, I don't always look it. Sometimes I ain't got it tight like it ought to be, but I'm blessed, baby. How you know I'm blessed? I'm breathing. Yeah, I want to know you're blessed. Just breathe. Some of y'all going to get that. Because you do know your life ain't about stuff. Your life is about breathing. Bible says when he made man, he breathed into him. God just went and changed everything. How many know that, you know, God can change everything? I feel my help coming early. I'm telling you now that every time I feel a, I feel better. Every time I'm struggling and feel a, I get going again. Every time I think about giving up, I feel a, and I want to run on some more. God has put some proof up in my life. Woo! I feel that. And so it is, so it is, so it is. I'm trying to hurry, Darren. I know you want to go somewhere. He says, well, we're going to have to make a decision. We got to stop waffling. God been good to us. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that again, Melvin, because some folk act like they don't know I'm talking to them. God been good to y'all. I'm waiting on them three hard-headed people. In every church, typically there are three hard-headed people. I would call three hard-headed people names. But somebody done already scratched one of my cars. No, I'm just kidding. So he says, well, let's see. He says, here it is. I'm of the opinion, Melvin, that being saved is just wonderful. It's vital. But if in fact, children, you're saved, you can't keep sinning.
Lord, it got quiet down here. Guess it's just me and you from here on in.
He said, now, you got to remember, he said, Adam started this thing. One man. How many know that mama them was wrong? One monkey can stop the show. Adam, one man's sin messed all us up. But here's what I love about God. God said, well, if that's what Adam going to do, let me show you what I'm going to do. I told you, God, we've seen what you can do. Adam brought condemnation. Christ brought consecration. Adam brought death. God brought life. Adam did take away. God did give away. I'm telling you now that you have to stop sinning. Because you know what God can do. And so he said, well, I've been saved. How many of y'all saved? Let me see if I'm preaching to the right people because it got quiet over here. How many of y'all saved? One saved. How many of y'all can spell saved? Okay. All right. So I'm about finished. He says we're going to have to do something. We keep taking advantage of God's goodness, don't we now? I said we keep taking advantage of God's goodness, don't we now? We walk around talking about he put food on my table, clothes on my back. He's a rescue, been my bridge over troubled waters. He's my help in water. That's taking advantage of God's blessings, God's goodness. We even said that we think we David. We said not you David, but the other David. He says things like surely goodness and mercy. We say things like that. We say that the Lord has put a hedge round about us. We say things like he made my enemies my footstool. We say things like that because we take advantage of God's goodness. Well, in the words of Miss Sheila, what us gonna do now? Don't you think it's time for us to show God something? Only nine of y'all doing like this. What, the rest of y'all got an arthritic neck or something? Show me some sign. Talk back to the preacher. Don't you think it's about time the church of God starts showing God something? I do too. And so here it is. He said there is so much more to your salvation. And you ought to get into it. He said, we have been, Paul writes a letter to the church in Ephesus. He says, you know you're the workmanship of God? You are crafted especially by God to especially bless God back. That, That's why we sing things like every praise unto our God. You know, it amazes me how some of y'all can praise your way to bless God, but you can't perform your way to bless God. Oh, yeah, y'all be saying every praise unto our God, every word of worship. And then when worship comes, you sit there looking at me like y'all looking at me. You know, preaching and praise go together. Come on, talk back to me. Somebody say, go ahead, Reverend, you got it now. Yeah. We can sing our moles off. And then we get to the performance aspect, and we got to be drugged and pleaded and prodded, and leaders don't want to lead, and sheep don't want to be sheep, and children want to act like grown folk when it's convenient. But I'm telling you now, God says, show me something. And so he says, well, we got to understand something. God has been faithful. Jesus says this, and I'll hurry. Jesus says this. Jesus says in John 10, don't turn to it, you'll get lost. Jesus says, I came that they might have life. And didn't stop there. Jesus ramped that thing up and said, not regular life, but life abundantly. Talk about overflow. Talk about get it. Jesus said, I don't want them living mediocre. I don't want them living average. I want to push them. And he going to talk to you like that. I think you ought to talk back to him like that. Time to show God something, isn't it? Jesus says, I promise that you can ask me for anything. Now, here's where we're going to get a little delicate. So those of you who are sensitive to good preaching, hold on now. But Jesus says, I promise you, I'm going to let you ask me for stuff. I'm going to let you knock and get stuff. But you need to be careful how you do that. Because some of y'all have been asking for some jacked up stuff. Come on, talk back to me now. Some of y'all know that your request list has been some kind of messed up. You've been irresponsible, but yet you keep asking God for more stuff. So Jesus said, I promise you, I'll do that. And what we got to understand is the reason, primarily, I'm about finished. You know, black church, you have to say that about 9 times. You'll know when I'm about finished. When I'm about to pass out, you'll say, okay, he's running out now. But I'm about finished. You know, James, here's what he said. Please understand that as much as I love you, I'm loving on you to make you stand out. Here's what the word said. The word said, you are light. You are salt. That means we got to be different. You shouldn't look like regular folk. You shouldn't act like regular folk. You shouldn't be doing what regular folk do. You shouldn't be hanging out where regular folk hang out. Come on, talk back to me. The Lord has made you stand out to be a standout. Now, y'all got quiet on me. Didn't I say there should not be a revolution in the church? He said, listen, Lord, you have shown us so much. How many know that grace ain't just what you say at tables? You here today because of grace. Some of y'all don't want to admit it. How many of y'all sitting around stuck up and sophomoric people want to act like they ain't never done nothing? Point them out to me. Show me. Who are they? Point them out to me. Let's do a section check. Check your pew and look down there and go, no, we good here, Reverend. Act like you ain't never done nothing. Grace check. And so here, how do we do it? Okay, Pastor, what are we going to show God and how? Aren't you ready for that? Okay. I got a few minutes. I got to let y'all go. A few minutes because Deacon David said we got to leave. His first thing you do. I said, Reverend Uriel, that I'm going to make it easy for us to remember. I'm going to stop doing typical black preaching with 3 points in the close. I'm just going to tell you one thing. It's because I tell you one thing, and you can remember that, then next week I can tell you another thing. And we'll spend the rest of this year just learning one thing. Tell your neighbor one thing. All right, here it is. As Christian disciples, here it is. One thing, and I'm done. I'm done. Sister McKenzie, hold me accountable. One thing. As Christian disciples, we have been predestined by God to live a certain way. Do you agree? And so what Paul is saying now is to give them kind of like a heat check. Paul told them earlier, and I don't want you to have to go back, but he told them in chapter 2, he said, now you be careful how you judge people. Because same way you judge people, you're going to get judged. Remember that? And then he got to chapter 3, and he started talking about some things, and so I don't want to take up my, I'm running out of time. And so we got to be very careful when you look at the passage and understand that bottom line is, you got to make a choice. Okay. I told you earlier, I tried to set it up. Now, let me slide my little page, because some of y'all church folk don't make choices well. Some of y'all wait on other folk to inform you. And some of y'all wait on other folk to inspire you. And some of y'all wait on other folk to instruct you. And some of y'all wait on other folk, you know. And so, see, that's three easy ones. But here it is. He says, here's the deal. If, in fact, the first choice is this. You must decide today whether you're going to yield to the world or yield to God. I'm telling you now, some of y'all know I'm right. Some of y'all left home and got to go back home to folk who didn't want you to go to church. Some of y'all work around folk who don't care nothing about you being a Christian. Some of y'all got to sit by folk who don't act like they love God like you love God. But you can't look at the world. You got to keep your eyes on the Lord. You got to make your decision. For God you're going to live, and for God you're going to die. You're going to have to decide that you're going to live with God or live in hell without him. Name it, two choices. Is heaven or hell? Mm-hmm. Quiet now. Here we come. So he said, you really know that this is all about deciding whether you will enjoy abundant life or live life in despair. Jesus said this, apart from me, you got nothing. How many don't want to have nothing? Now that's an oxymoron, because you can't have nothing. If you got nothing, you don't have, this could go on forever. Okay, and so he said, now here it is. Pastor, help us, Pastor. What does yielding mean? I'll tell you what it means. What it means is you give your whole self. I like you, brother. You stay in time you want. That come on preacher thing is like, What does it mean, whole self? See, some of y'all, that song say, Jeff, your body's here with me, but your mind is on the other side of town fooling around. Some of y'all in church right now ain't even really here. You got to give your whole self. Y'all ain't talking to me like I thought you would. You can't give some of you to God and give some of you to Raheem. You can't give some of you to God and some of you to the job. You can't, y'all ain't talking back to me. You got to give all of you. All of me. Why not take all of me? You got to yield to God. You got to stop fighting him. Stop resisting him. Stop running from him. Stop lying to him. Stop leaving him. Stop cheating him. You got to give all of you. You can't sit here in God's house and play part-time footsie with him. I told you last week, Stevie Wonder was wrong. Talking about call up, ring once, hang up the phone, let me know you made it home. You know I never do you wrong. We's part-time lovers. You can't live like that with God.
You give all of you to God. You can't keep asking God to open up the windows and pour you out a blessing. You can't keep asking him to heal your sin-sick, drunken, drug-abused body. You can't keep asking him to put a hedge round about you. You can't keep asking him to open doors. You can't keep asking him and you cheating him out of you. Y'all don't like me no more. You got to yield. And don't you spend another day telling a lie, talking about if God wanted me to do it, he would have made. No, God ain't going to force you into this love. Grandma was right. Every tub going to stand on his own bottom. You got to yield your whole self. How many of y'all are tired of playing part-time with God? Man. I'm about done. What's that, number 8? I got one more. Yield. Here's what he asked for. And I'm going. Here's what he asked for. The Bible says you got to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all of your body, all of your soul. You got to give God everything. Here's the trick. Here's the key. Here's the secret formula. I ain't supposed to tell nobody, but I'm going to tell you. When you give God everything, you get everything in return. I can tell you now, you will never lose any value when you give God everything. Pastor, how you know that? Because you brought nothing here. And look how much you gained. When you look around, can't you see God been good to you? God has been so good. Not only does he let you whip, he lets you nay-nay. That's a good God right there, ain't it? You listen. You just like Oliver Wendell Douglas and his lovely wife Lisa, land spreading out far and wide. Look at what God has done to you. Look at what God has done for you. Look at what God has done through you. How many of y'all got children? Look what God did through you. How many of you have grandchildren? Look what God did through you. How many of you have somebody to love and somebody to love back? Look what God has done through you. You look down your pew, especially if you're sitting with your family and you're the oldest one on the bench, you ought to look down and tell them, look what God did through me. All of y'all here because God been good to me. If the devil had got in my head, I would have aborted you. I wouldn't have fed you right. I wouldn't have took care of you. But God kept talking to me. God said, I'm going to bless you with a little boy and a little girl. God said, I'm going to give you somebody that gonna, when you get old, they're going to gird you up and they're going to come see about you. God said, I'm going to make sure that your golden years are your best year because I'm going to give you children and grandchildren. And you're going to sit around and say, bring me a cup of coffee. Put a little sugar in it. Come here and bring me my slippers. Cut this bunion off for me, baby. Because God has done something through you. Said, I was young, but now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Tell your neighbor, he about to get on out of here now. Here it is. He says, it's you know, what Paul is saying, I'm done. It's not, I'm tired. What Paul is saying is, it's showtime for the church. How many of y'all remember watching the Apollo? Y'all remember, come on, act like, you know, back when we had black and white TVs and stuff, we ain't had no flat screen. And you remember how that song used to come on? It's showtime at the Apollo. And Kiki Shepherd coming out there. Man, we loved showtime, didn't we? We liked the performance, y'all. I'm setting you up. We liked the performance, didn't we? And we like it when that old man came out with a hook and grabbed folk who couldn't sing. We were like, boo, they ain't got no business out there. I ain't talking about the gong show, showtime. But I'm saying, listen. It's the entertainment. It's seeing folk work with what they got. Y'all didn't see it. I think it's showtime for the church. Nudge your neighbor. Now, y'all try to keep it holy, try to keep it spiritual, because I know soon as some of y'all say this, y'all going to go the wrong way. But nudge your neighbor and tell them, show me what you're working with. I try to get them to stay in the church with it. Sister Clarissa, I tried to tell them, don't go the wrong way with this thing. But I'm telling you, know, it's time for us to see your gift. That's what I'm saying. You've been gifted by God. The Bible said when he ascended unto heaven, he gave gifts to men. Look at your name and say, come on, show me what you're working with. Come on, baby, show me some of that spiritual thing. Show me some of that gift of prophecy. Show me some of that Jesus love. Show me some of that speaking in tongues. Show me some of that laying on the hand. Show me some of that lifting up and putting them down. Come on and show me what you're working with. Because the God you serve has gifted you. Baby, you better than you ever been before. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm about to bust a move for God's glory because the Lord's been good to me. God woke me up this morning. God started me on my way. God gave me a little something, and I just can't help myself. And so I decided to make Jesus my choice. I decided to go all the way. I decided to stand up. I decided to fight harder. I decided to stay longer. I decided to stay stronger because the God I serve, anybody know the God I serve has already been good to me. Mama said he'd been better to me than I've been to myself. Ain't God all right? Can you tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I've been fooling around long enough, and I've made up my mind that God's going to get a better me. God's going to get better service. God's going to get a better shout. God's going to get a better me. Is there anybody here that wants to give God a better you? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, oh, neighbor, I've made up my mind. I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of slipping on through. I'm going to rise. I'm going to shine and give God the glory. Anybody know he wants the glory? Look at another name and say, neighbor, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise, I said his praise. Go on and praise him in your own little way. Some of y'all might want to wave your hand. Some of y'all might want to jump up and down. Some of y'all might want to shake a little bit. But go ahead and praise him. Go ahead and bless his name. He's worthy. He's worthy. Ain't he worthy? Say yeah. Say yeah. Say ah. He's worthy. Okay, that's it, I'm tired. No, stop that, I'm done. I said, I'm done. Oh, y'all gonna make me do it. Watch out now. Hallelujah. Somebody looking at you funny. They don't understand why you're doing that little thing right there. But you've decided to do it better. You've decided to give him the highest praise. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Listen, listen. One thing. What was that? Yield. Just give it up. You remember when we were children? And we played hide and go seek. How many of y'all played hide and go seek? How many of y'all were so good that folk couldn't find you? How many of y'all still hiding even right now? The Lord been looking for y'all. He sent Moses, Elijah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Y'all still hiding? No. Ain't remember hide and go seek. So here's how it works. You remember, if you're a good hider, what happened after a while? No, you didn't just come out. You know how we do it. What they say? Come out, wherever you are. Some of us need to come on out today and yield to God. Let's stand on our feet. We're going to go. It's almost 1 o'clock.
I got to synchronize my watch with other folk watches. Stand on your feet. Listen, all I'm asking you to do is yield to God. And I know you're thinking to yourself, well, Pastor, I got so much baggage and I've done so much stuff. Can I tell you something? Y'all let me do the preaching, please. When I was up there, you didn't do all that helping. Don't help me now I'm down here. He already knows. Though she right? He already knows. And he still wants you. If you don't know me by now, you'll never ever know me. All the things that we've been through, you should understand me like I understand you. That's God. That's all God is saying. God is saying, I know you, and I still want you. How many of you have ever been rejected or turned down because of a fault or a shortcoming or somebody found out something? How many of y'all glad that the Holy Ghost don't do background checks? Because we'd have never got in, you know. Thank God they ain't got no bouncer at the door going, wait, ho, let's check you out. Put your thumbprint on there. Let's see what. Oh, no, you gone now. God's saying, I still want you. God is saying, I still love you. You just got to yield to me. Paul, y'all remember Saul before he became Paul? I let y'all ear don't itch sometimes. Why you looking at me like that? It's my ear. I know how I feel. Need my towel. Paul, you know, y'all remember Saul on his way to Damascus? Got some church business he gonna take care of. And Jesus cuts across him. And he says to him, he says, Saul, Saul, why are you kicking against me? Just yield to me. Saul fell on his face and said, you got me, Lord. Somebody today, you've been running. Ooh, you've been getting up and getting them down. You've been out there for too long. And you're still breathing. You remember that old song we used to sing, he didn't have to let me live. Didn't have to let me live. You remember that? But look at you. You're still alive. You're still here. Why? You ever thought to yourself, there's got to be more to it than this. There's more to it than this, man. That's what God is saying to you. That's what Paul is saying. He said, Lord, we've seen what you can do. And we don't need to keep acting the fool so we can see more of what you can do. He said, it's showtime. He said, what we're going to do is we're going to deal with the well then moment and stop sinning. How? By yielding to God. And somebody sitting here now, and the Holy Ghost just told me to tell you, we're not talking about being perfect. We're talking about the process. But we're talking about starting now. Don't start somewhere. Start now. You say, you know what? That old preacher right. Ain't got nothing to lose. I done about lost everything anyway. Friends don't treat me like they used to. I can't go where I used to go. Partly because I ain't got no money. My car been repossessed. You know, I lost my job. You know, things just been happening. And God's getting your attention. And I'll tell you, God is so loving and so wonderful. Sometimes God don't even take nothing from you to get your attention. What really gets your attention is that he letting you keep it. Some of y'all didn't know that, did you? What God is doing is letting you keep some stuff so you'll know, hey, I'm still God. Because if your enemy had his way, he'd take everything. But see, I'm God. I do it different. How many glad that God do it different? God could have cut us off, but he let us keep going. God could have killed us, but he let us live. And he said, I just want you to know I'm still God. So what do? Yield. Just yield to him. Stop all that foolishness. Get out of your feelings, all that rigmarole and that. preacher. You need the preacher. Best friend in your life ought to be your preacher. Your pastor ought to be your best friend. How shall they hear without the preacher? And because God loves us so much, he said, I'm going to give them pastors. Isn't that wonderful what God gave us? Some of y'all have been waiting on God to give you the 6 Mega Million numbers. He already gave you a pastor. You got a pastor, you done hit the lottery. Yes, sir. Somebody's going to bless you and walk with you and marry you young and bless your babies and be there when trouble comes. You got a pastor. When you got a pastor, you got something. Nudge your neighbor and say, don't leave home without him. Better get your pastor on speed dial. Everybody take out your phone. Let me see if I'm in y'all contacts. Get these phones out. I need the first 2 people to show me that I'm in their contacts. I'm buying your dinner. First two. Better hurry up. I need to know if I'm in y'all contacts. That's one. She don't count? That's one right there. Pastor. Oh, you even got pastor. Okay, y'all did good. Okay. Oh, she even got my whole name, Pastor Mitchell. Very good. Let me see what we got over here. All right, I've been messaged over there. I'm going to get broke today. Amen. All right. Well, you know the rule. That's right. Friends and family of contestants may not. You're right. She can't win. That's right. Yeah. When the last time? Okay, I need to see. Who's the most recent person that called me? Let me see. You don't count. That don't. Let me see what you got. What date you got? Come on. Yeah, hurry up. Whoever called me the most recent. You called me yesterday? That's right, you did, Rem, but you don't count because you family. 105. Let's say 2013. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. I'm going to take care of y'all. Listen, okay, here's what we're going to do. We just wanted you. I told you, I just wanted you to learn one thing. And I want you to laugh. I like y'all laughing because y'all remember stuff. I want you to remember this. All I want you to do today, I want you to make a decision. And I'm going to get out of the way. It's a little past 1 o'clock. I want you to yield today, not to me, but to the Lord. I'm not trying to get in your business. I'm not being accusatory. I'm not investigating anything. But what I'm going to say to you here and now is the most important thing I'm going to say to you. I've said to you all day long. I probably wasted 42 minutes of your time, but this is what I should have said to you all along. Give yourself to the Lord. If you'll make that decision here and now, your whole life is going to change. I'm not promising you're going to get no job. That ain't what the Lord... Those scriptures don't really exist in the Bible like that. What God says is, I'm going to be faithful to the faithful. What I'm saying to you today is the one thing I want you to learn and to respond to is, will you yield to God? Now, if you're already saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, that's fine. But I think there's still some yielding can go in there too. I was writing this sermon a few weeks ago, really. I try to stay ahead writing. But I had to sit down and talk to myself. Because I said, Leroy, you can stand some yielding in some areas. I wrote my little list down. And I've been working on it because I can do better. It ain't up to you to be my critic. But I know God ain't happy about me all the time. So I said, I need to do some stuff too. And next time we talk, I'm going to show you the next thing you ought to do. Okay? But this is the first thing we're going to do. We're going to yield to God. Now, if you're here today and you've already accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in your life, I'm very proud of you. If you're already in a good Christian church, I'm very proud of you. If you're faithful to that church, I'm very proud of you. But I want to offer you some options today. The first option I want to offer you is true salvation. I don't want you to be standing there thinking, well, I go to church. I'm not asking you that. Do you go to church? I'm asking you, have you yielded to the call? Have you given your life, your whole life? And if you haven't, come on now. Don't worry about people saying nothing because trust me, folk talk about you no matter what you do. Folk ain't never satisfied. So if you haven't yielded like I'm talking about yielding, like I've been preaching about yielding, come on. And let's work on it together. I'll help you all I can to lead a yielded life. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be standing there thinking, well, what are they going to say about me? Do you really care? They don't have a heaven or hell to put you in. David said, Lord, whatever you do, don't let me fall into the hands of men. God is your judge. So if you want to get right with God and do it now, come on, let's start this process of living a yielded life. Secondly, again, if you're looking for a church home and you desire more than just choir music and clapping and a good old time, you want a pastor that's going to teach you and hold you accountable and help your family, then we want to have you here with us. Because we're serious about kingdom life. Our doors are open to you and your family, to your sons and your daughters. And there are no background checks. We don't listen to rumors. We rarely read the newspaper and find the local news inadequate. So whatever you've been through, that's all right, baby, you're getting through. And trust me, there are storms on the horizon. A whole lot of us, if we were to heist up our pant leg, you'd see scars and bruises and cuts and all kinds of old crazy stuff. That's because we've been through some stuff. But we fell down, but we got up. We got hit in the head, but we kept going. So don't worry about what you've been through, baby. We all right. We've been through it too. Your story may not be our story, but don't get me started. And then thirdly, I want to say to you, you can be restored and reconciled to God. Come back. You strayed away, you wandered off. Come back. God still loves you. Yeah. Come on back and pray today and thank God for taking you back. Thank God for letting you live long enough. Just come on back and say, Lord, you let me live long enough to make a good decision again. You're here today. Would you do that? Would you do that? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Just let him do it. He wants to do it. He wants to do it. God always has his arms open. His heart is always receptive. You know that story about the prodigal son? You know, we get to hear it really from a one-sided affair. I'd really like to talk to that boy when I get to heaven to ask him, man, what was the holdup? What took you so long? And I bet you he was embarrassed. He was shamed. Thought to himself, man, I done wasted all my daddy's stuff. Good as my daddy been to me. You know, in quiet times, you realize how good folk been to you. You ever been mad at folk and then realize how good they been to you? Because you sit down and think about it. And then you realize to yourself, man, I'm silly. They've been good to me. But embarrassment keeps us from coming back. And so I'm going to ask that boy. And I think some of you standing here today, you're thinking to yourself, if I go back, what's going to happen? What's he going to say? No, come on back. The Lord has been waiting on you every day. Not just on Sunday. You know you can give your life to Christ on a Monday. Catch that old preacher at the church. Call him up on his phone. Say, Pastor, I need to talk to you. And so I want to invite you to come on. Pray your way back today. Restoration is available today. Revival is available today. If you just need a boost, come on back and let God do that for you. You're here today. Come on. Don't worry about what everybody else needs. You get what you need. Amen. Somebody today, maybe you just want to pray for a loved one. I told you earlier, 53 people lost their lives. They went out to have a good time. They thought they'd be back home. Some of them probably even had planned to go to church today. It didn't happen. Don't you get caught short. Come on, get your business straight with God right now. Right now, don't leave here thinking, well, I don't want to go up there. Come on, pray your way back. If you don't do nothing but come and say thank you today, just come tell God thank you one more time. Amen. God bless you, Sister Scott. God bless you. We keep praying for you and your family. You just want to tell him thank you. God, thank you today. Thank you. Thank you. We're praying for you and your family. God bless you. If you want to just tell God about your troubles, you want to tell God about a situation and you need to talk to him, God bless you. Just come on, talk to him. Don't leave here without the opportunity to have prayed in the house of God. There's a certain something about being at the altar of God. There's an old song we used to sing, God bless you, in the old church I grew up in that says, come ye disconsolate, fervently kneel. Folk would come to the altar, God bless you today. Whatever you need, God's going to do it. Amen. Yeah, make room for him. Make room for him. God bless you today. Your testimony is amazing. God is doing something tremendous in your life. So many folk love you and are praying for you. It's because of what we're doing here right now. People prayed for you. This little lady just kept lifting up your name.